Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. We're also looking at you, Oakland. We are coming out to Sketchfest this year, again, for the second year in a row, and we are doing a rare Sunday afternoon jam. So that is Sunday, January 15th at 1 p.m., you can come see us live, and tickets are going to go fast, so go to sfsketchfest.com and just click on the little ticket links or look at the lineup and follow us there. And we can't wait to see everyone. It's one of our favorite cities to perform in. And go to sfsketchfest.com. Oakland, San Francisco, we will see you soon.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and there's Jerry. And it is really cold here in the studio.
It is Election Day Part 2. Mm-hmm. We're recording on Election Day.
That's right.
Jerry's got on her pantsuit.
Yeah.
Which means that she's going to make America great again.
That's right. She's got on her pantsuit and her hat that says Make America Great Again.
Yeah,
she's very
messages.
Confused.
I early voted, so I wasn't out there today.
Yeah.
But I heard people saying, like, oh, I want to wait till the real day because I get more out of that experience.
It's like Christmas now.
Well, I mean,
it's not just one day. It's spread out over weeks.
To each their own, of course. But when I early voted, there were plenty enough people there for me to feel like I enjoy voting. It's a fun experience. And it wasn't like I showed up early and they were just like, get in there and vote. No,
right.
No one cares.
Don't make eye contact. No, they had like
still a
your
fun atmosphere.
Grand old flag blaring on the speakers at the doorway and all that.
Yeah. And hey, this is for the next election. I should have said this weeks ago. Thank an election volunteer.
Okay.
Just go up and say thank you to somebody. That's a lot of hard work, and they only make about $25 an hour.
Get spit on a lot?
I imagine it's not fun in a lot of precincts.
Sure.
And anyway, the good people doing good work. And that's all.
Nice job.
I have to say about that.
Are you ready?
So let's talk about frostbite.
Yeah. When you were standing in line for early voting, was it cold out?
No, it was late October, so it was very, very hot.
Like 100 degrees.
Yes.
Well, you're very lucky that it wasn't cold out, because had it been very cold out, Chuck, and had you been wearing what you're wearing now, T-shirt, you know?
And MeUndies.
Yeah. And that's it?
That's it.
and tennis shoes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a terrible look.
Uh-huh.
You would have been a likely candidate for frostbite, depending on the temperature.
Yes, and arrested.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, probably. It depends on how cool your election volunteer was.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's a little tip. If you're looking into frostbite for one reason or another.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Don't look at images of frostbite.
Yeah.
No need.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah?
It's like they're like balloon animals. You know?
Yeah. And we're not making light because this is something that affects people to the point of amputation.
Yeah, it definitely can.
But you don't need to go look at the pictures of blackened toes and blistered fingers and things.
But
it's
if you do,
really gross.
And you want to cope with the horror, just pretend again that they're balloon animals. Okay?
All right.
So, have you heard of this dude, Rulon Gardner?
I had not until this.
So he was a wrestler, and I'm not surprised you hadn't heard of him, especially if we were talking in the 90s, because he was virtually a nobody.
Yeah.
He was a professional Olympic level wrestler.
Greco-Roman.
Right.
Of course.
But he was, not like WWF Olympic wrestling.
Yeah, they should do that.
But, more like, Team Foxcatcher style wrestling, right?
Sure.
Okay. But in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, this guy came out of nowhere. He'd never placed like higher than either fourth or fifth, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out of nowhere in the 2000 Olympics and won the gold. He became like the reigning world champion of Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yes.
Right?
Of his weight class.
And he was just this cool, nice farm boy from Wisconsin. No, from Wyoming.
Yes.
Okay. And, a couple years after his big win in the Olympics, he was snowmobiling out around his house, I guess. And he got stuck up there in like a 17,000 foot elevation, mountainous area.
10,000, but.
Close enough.
Still pretty high.
And it was cold out.
It was.
I mean, super cold, Chuck.
80 degrees below
Fahrenheit.
That's crazy.
Negative 62 degrees Celsius. And he's stranded. Like, he's out there.
Yeah.
So when you're like this, unless you have prepared to spend an extended amount of time outdoors in that weather.
Even if you have sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you haven't, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
You're probably going to die. At the very least, you're going to get some serious frostbite. And that's all that Rulon Gardner ended up with was serious frostbite. And they're actually, he's a really good example, as we'll see, of how a person or why a person could survive in that kind of weather.
Yeah.
And just get frostbite. Why it wasn't worse.
He lost a toe, right?
Yeah, he did.
Not bad.
No, not bad for being out there for, was it 17 hours?
Yeah.
In negative 80 degree Fahrenheit. I'd be like, just the moment I stepped outside, I'd just fall over and die.
Right.
I wouldn't even make it onto my snowmobile.
They're like, Josh, you can probably make it. And you're like, no, leave me.
You're still in the living room.
So, he actually came back and won a bronze with the toe missing.
Yeah, missing a toe.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And I saw he was on that Biggest Loser show. I think he gained a lot of weight.
So if it was fat, that's not good for frostbite. If it was muscle mass, it's like Mr. Frostbite Fighter.
I think he put on fat weight and went on the Biggest Loser, and I think perhaps lost that weight.
Huh. Good for him.
Yeah.
Boy, he's just a winner all over, isn't he?
Sounds like it.
So frostbite, it turns out, is not an extensively studied malady. It's called a cold weather injury, right?
Yeah.
Cold temperature injury.
Yeah, it's not tracked very well either.
No, and up until the reason why is because up until about the 50s, if you got frostbite, you were probably a soldier. That's where most cases of frostbite came from. We're from the militaries around the world.
Yeah, you were a cross-country skier or a soldier.
Right. And then as cross-country skiing got more popular, and then downhill skiing gained popularity, and then snowboarding came along, and outdoor winter sports increased,
mm-hmm.
and mountain climbing's another big one too, incidence of frostbite went up as well. So it was really in just the last few decades that frostbite's really become a lot more prevalent. It's become like significantly prevalent, but it's just our understanding of it isn't as widespread as you would think.
Yeah, it says in here 10% of casualties, American casualties in WW2 in Korea were frostbite.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And a lot of those I saw were high altitude frostbite cases where they were up in a plane and the plane wasn't insulated enough. So poor guys just got frostbite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cold weather injuries, and this includes frostbite and other stuff. They says that men between 30 to 49, it's most common. And it just makes sense. It says they're more likely to be the ones engaging in these kind of outdoor extreme temperature activities.
Okay. Tell that to Peekaboo Street.
Yeah, that's what I say. And then, of course, if you live in a warm or hot weather country, and maybe you're a soldier or something, then you're going to be more likely to get frostbite.
Yeah, so apparently if you are of African descent, Arab descent, or Pacific Islander descent, you are likelier to get frostbite than like a Caucasian or an Asian person.
And that's because of your just what your body's used to?
They don't know. No one's ever said. Any explanation of it tends to be armchair and traipses very quickly into like racism.
Sure.
You know? So science is like, we've documented that it's definitely true. I think, African American soldiers get it like they're four times likelier to get it than their Caucasian soldiers in the same study. But they're like, we have no idea why.
Right.
We just can't say why.
They're like, what are you saying? Right. Like, we're not saying anything.
Right, we're just saying it. We just documented it.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the symptoms. Like we said before, even if you are dressed for the weather, it's this prolonged exposure. And I had the worst. What's the worst cold weather experience of your life? Do you remember?
I do.
All right. Well, let's share these real quick.
When I was, four, maybe five, I had this pair of cowboy boots that I loved. And I'd gotten them when I was maybe three. Well, you start to grow significantly between three and four and five. So I'd outgrown the cowboy boots, but my parents had neglected to buy me replacement cowboy boots.
Yeah.
And had neglected to take away the ones that were now too small. So I went outside and I wanted to wear my cowboy boots, but I couldn't wear socks with them or anything. And it is the middle of winter in Toledo. Like I'm sliding around on ice in my cowboy boots with no socks. And I got home and I lost three toes. I didn't lose the toes, but everything else that was my first brush with the concept of frostbite.
Yeah.
Cause my mom was like, you could have gotten frostbite. Like this is, you're a dumb kid.
Yeah.
That was a really eye-opening experience for me.
I went to a Cleveland Browns game a few years ago.
Yeah, I'll bet that was cold.
In Cleveland.
Yeah.
Possibly the most miserable sporting event I've ever, not possibly.
I've never understood why.
Far and away.
Yeah.
Why what?
Why people do that to themselves.
Well, they wear like a badge of honor in those cold weather states.
I guess.
You know, like,
Green Bay?
Yeah, they love that stuff. I don't know if they really love it or if they just, they've all gotten so used to dealing with it that that's their way to deal with it is by putting down people who don't have to deal with it.
Right.
Like, you know, they'll come to Atlanta and it'll be like, 28 degrees, which is cold.
And they're just wearing
like,
a Speedo.
Oh, this is like summer to us.
Sure.
Like, no, it's below freezing. Like,
and
no
you
matter
know
who
it.
You are.
You Packer fan.
Anyway, the Browns-Dolphins game of a few years ago was truly miserable. It was that stadium in Cleveland is right next to the lake. And the water, the wind just whips off that water into the stadium.
Man.
And I remember walking in there thinking like, man, I am toasty. I'm going to be just fine. I was layered like eight layers deep.
Yeah.
I had pocket warmers.
Right.
Like this, I've got this. And as the game went on, just slowly and slowly and slowly, it just started to creep in through all those layers. And I'm talking long johns, thermals, sweatshirts, sweaters, hoodies, and like the big parka.
It sounds like you did everything
I
right.
I did everything right, and it still just cut through. And by the end of the game, my internal core was freezing.
Right, and that's the big problem, right? Because frostbite is your body's natural response to staving off hypothermia, which is an even bigger problem.
Yeah.
You're not going to die from frostbite because there's only certain areas of the body and they're really ultimately not that important to keeping you alive. But hypothermia, that's the money problem, right? That's the one that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Because with hypothermia, your core temperature drops and you end up freezing to death.
Yes.
Frostbite is your body's reaction to that. And what it does,
and I don't want you to freeze to death.
Right. You dummy, why don't you go? This one's on TV. It's not even blacked out. Like, go watch it on TV, dummy.
But we can lose a toe.
Right.
And that's fine.
It'll be a badge of honor. You can go to Green Bay with that thing. So your body says, all right, fine. We'll lose a toe then. I'm going to stop sending blood to your extremities, including your toe, and I'm going to save it for your core.
That's right.
And it's not like your core needs more blood at that point. But when your blood goes out to like your skin and your fingers and your arms and your ears and your nose,
yeah,
and your penis, you can get frostbite on your penis. Did you come across that?
What do you mean come across it? At the Browns game?
In your research. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
You can, right?
Well, that's definitely not something I will Google.
So when blood goes out to these extremities, it's being exposed to that cold air more. Whereas if it stays circulating in the core, then it's able to just keep the core warm because the blood's not getting cold and coming back into the core and robbing the core of its warmth to reheat the blood.
I would hope that your wee-wee is close enough to your core.
I saw amongst joggers, it can be a real problem.
Oh, well, that's because they're wearing those little dolphin running shorts.
Right. Yeah. In Green Bay.
And I should finish up that story about that game. It was not only miserable because of the weather, but that field was wet and frozen.
Jeez.
And it was the Browns Dolphins, and it was literally like, I think it was like a 6-0 game.
Oh, man.
It was just awful.
Did you at least get some good nachos out of the deal?
I don't think so.
You're too cold to eat?
No. Well, I mean, I was with my in-laws and sister-in-law and my father-in-law.
They don't eat nachos?
And my cousin-in-law. Cousin-in-law? Yeah.
Sure.
So that was fun.
Okay.
But by the end of the game, I was like, you people are crazy.
Yeah.
This is miserable. I know everyone's drunk.
Yeah, which is a bad move as far as frostbite goes, as we'll see.
That's right. But let's get back to this bit about sending warm blood to the extremities. There is, and this is something I did not know. It's pretty neat, though. But your hands and your feet have these little junctions between arteries and veins that you can shut off like a faucet called arteriovenous anastomosis.
Nice.
And
I think you nailed it.
That's literally what happens is your body starts to get cold, and they say, you know what, I'm going to shut it down for your hands and feet.
Yep.
So sorry, but we need to keep your internal organs and your wee-wee nice and warm.
Right. And there's actually something called the hunting response. And the hunting response is where your arteriovenous anastomosis shut off.
Yes.
So the blood to your extremities is shut off. But then every 10 to 15 minutes, they get turned back on so that there's blood going back to your extremities again for a few minutes, and then they get shut off again. So it's keeping it going just enough so that your extremities aren't actually going to freeze.
Interesting.
But then that hunting response is only good down to about 0 degrees Celsius, freezing, right?
Yeah.
Once it hits that, your hunting response turns off, and the circulation to your extremities is shut off entirely.
Right.
It's not coming back on anymore.
Yeah, and at this point, your skin is literally freezing between the space between cells. Ice crystals are forming. It's going to dehydrate the interior of those cells and damage that tissue, and you're in bad shape at that point.
Yeah, because ice crystals are literally forming in between your cells, right? And if that damages the cells, that's bad enough.
Yeah.
But when ice is forming, as anybody knows, ice is less dense than water, right? And as it forms, it takes that water and sucks it up. And since cells love homeostasis, they want to regain that balance of solution between the outside of the cell and the inside of the cell. So water's drawn out of the cells. That stuff freezes too.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your cells are dehydrated, and the stuff in between them is ice crystals. So it's a bad jam in there. And we'll get further into the cells after this. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Chuck, the extracellular matrix is frozen into ice crystals. Your cells are dehydrated.
Bad news.
And your skin is literally freezing.
Yeah, and you're watching the Browns and the Dolphins.
Right, exactly.
It's bad.
What you've just entered is the first degree, or the I should say not the first degree, but the first part of frostbite.
That's right. And actually, that's probably called frostnip.
I think frostnip comes before that. I think as your skin's it's getting closer and closer to 0 degrees?
It says here, frostnip is mild frostbite. Only skin freezes and skin appears yellowish or white, but feels soft to the touch, tingling and burning sensations.
But there's no, like the extracellular matrix is not actually freezing and forming ice crystals.
I don't think at this point.
Yeah.
In frostnip. Once it just sounds cuter.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
You just got a little frostnip.
Yeah. Some marshmallows will clear that right up. Once the ice crystals form in the extracellular matrix, you've hit frostbite, though, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So can we talk about the degrees now?
Yeah.
All right. First degree, superficial wounding and underlying of the skin and the underlying tissue and numb to the sensation. That might be frostnip.
No, frostnip has tingling still. Frostbite is where, it's like,
numb.
You're numb.
All right.
Yeah, and your hands supposedly feel like blocks of wood, or your leg, or your penis, whatever. Whatever is being frostbitten, and it's horrible. It feels like a heavy block of wood.
Second degree. Still superficial. Just, like, you don't want to hang around it. It's not very deep in conversation. It's very superficial. And the skin blisters and the tissue freezes. Third degree, you're going to get that deep tissue and skin wounding, blisters, blood-filled blisters, permanent tissue damage. And then finally, fourth degree, no good at all.
No.
You're going to lose a digit or a limb because of all the dead tissue.
Yes.
Severe, severe tissue damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're almost certainly going to result in amputation because you've got necrosis. You've got cellular death.
Yes.
Like extensive cellular death. When those things get dehydrated and cut up by the crystals, the ice crystals, they're toast.
No coming back.
No. And it's even worse, it turns out, when it freezes and then thaws and then refreezes.
Yeah, did not know that.
And it makes sense though, because like you've got the initial damage from those ice crystals that form, and then they thaw, and then they form new ice crystals and do even more extensive damage.
Yeah.
It would make sense that your cells would be like, you had one shot.
Mm-hmm.
You blew it. If you thawed and then refroze, who does that?
Yeah, it's like skunky beer.
Yeah.
All right, so I just gave myself away and said that I did not know that about the rewarming, but I also, and I wrote articles on cold weather survival.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. And I don't remember, I thought the way to treat frostbite was to very, and I think I might have been thinking hypothermia, was to very gradually rewarm your hand or whatever.
Not with frostbite. It makes sense that you would want to do that.
I totally thought like, no, you don't want to shock your frostbitten hand.
No, you do.
With warm water, but that's exactly what you want to do.
Yeah, and it has to be warm water. And the reason why is because direct heat from like a heating pad or something like that can actually really damage the damage that's already done. It can take it and finish it off.
Well, because you don't have that feeling in your hand, so you might be burning yourself and not even know it.
Right, but I get the impression that also direct heat itself actually on a cellular level is problematic for the tissue damage, right?
Oh, really?
So you want indirect warmth through water.
Oh, interesting.
And you plunge your hands. Let's say, so I keep going to hands because I think that's probably the most...
Hands and feet, probably.
Sure. Let's say it's feet, right?
Right.
You get a couple of buckets of 104 degree Fahrenheit temperature water,
mm-hmm.
and you plunge your hands and your feet in them and just leave them in there until they're rewarmed.
Yeah, you don't want to... You don't want to make it too hot.
No. And there's some really important points to say here. Like, first of all, we're not doctors.
No.
We're not lawyers either, but we know enough to say that we're not doctors.
That's correct.
So if you find yourself in a cold weather injury survival situation like this, or mm-hmm. you come across somebody, from what I've seen, you don't actually want to do this until like you're down off the mountain.
Well, yeah, because of the whole thing with thawing and refreezing.
That's one part of it.
It said, like, don't start this process unless you know you can complete it.
Right. And unless that you know that it's not going to freeze again.
Yeah.
Because you got the freeze-thaw-freeze injury that
yes.
comes about. But also, one of the other things you're going to find is that, like I was saying earlier, your extremity that's frostbitten, once it thaws, it's going to resemble a balloon animal very quickly.
Yeah.
And if you're hiking out of a... of a like a mountain area,
yeah.
somebody came to get you finally.
A ravine, let's say.
Sure. You're actually better off walking out on your frostbitten feet than you
yeah.
are rewarming them and trying to walk out on those, because they're going to just balloon up and you will not be able to walk on them afterward. At
yeah.
the very least, if they're frostbitten, you can't feel them and they're not swollen. But part of the thawing process is what's called perfusion or reperfusion. And there's something called a reperfusion energy where blood and oxygen comes back to the site.
Yeah.
And it actually leads to inflammation, and the tissue damage from the body going back to its normal processes can actually make the whole thing way worse.
Yeah, and that also ties in nicely with one of the things they recommend is to keep moving. If you're stranded somewhere, even if you don't leave the area, get up and walk in circles.
Yeah.
Like anything you can do to try and get circulation going to those extremities again.
Yeah, and we talked about it kind of in the hibernation episode, where when you make your muscles move, it requires energy, and it burns that ATP and creates heat as a byproduct. So anytime you can move your muscles, you're actually generating heat, which is what the shiver response is.
That's right. One thing that they said in 2007, though, was an issue in Archives of Surgery, that hot, hot publication. They said that they had some pretty good results, promising at least, from a study about anti-clotting agents, like blood thinning agents, to help that blood flow, but I don't know where that's gone since then, and it said that not everyone's a candidate for that, and, you know, this is something that you would obviously not have if you were out there trying to survive. It's something you would get maybe in the emergency room.
Sure, right.
And the other big thing is infection. After you've rewarmed that tissue, infection is a big problem waiting to happen.
Huge problem. Like you're a prime candidate for tetanus.
Yeah.
When your feet swell, the skin can very easily crack. Your toe can just fall off, and you don't have to worry about amputation anyway, right?
Oh, man.
And again, a lot of this is what's called a reperfusion injury. So when this immune response or this inflammation response comes and puffs up your foot or your hand or whatever's been frostbitten, if you're out in the field, you would be very smart to have aloe vera gel on you, because it actually prevents what are called prostaglandins from entering the site, and they are part of the inflammatory response. So the more you can keep your frostbitten hand or foot from being inflamed, the better off you're going to be.
Another thing that you're not supposed to do, and it says here the thing that you've seen in movies where you clap your frozen hands together. I've never seen that in my life. What is that?
I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
That was like The Karate Kid, I think, is the movie they're referencing.
Maybe. But it also says here, don't walk on your frozen feet. And that sounds counter to what we were saying. I think what we were talking about earlier is if, like, the only way out of the woods is you.
To save your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you've got, you know, like, rescue people.
Oh, yeah, don't walk.
Yeah, yeah.
If you got people that'll carry you down a mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
Go with that.
Exactly.
I think what this guy was saying was, if you are up on a mountain, mm-hmm. and, yeah, the person needs to walk down, you probably shouldn't start the thawing process because
gotcha.
They're not going to be able to walk after their feet are thawed because okay. they're going to balloon up.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's take another break, and we'll talk a little bit about prevention right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, stay out of the cold.
Yep.
The end.
That's the prevention.
It literally says that in our own article. That's obviously the common sense thing to tell people, but... if you were a hobbyist,
mm-hmm.
an outdoor, cold weather hobbyist,
right.
you're going to be out there.
Like, or if you're a reindeer herder?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You might have a job too, though.
Sure.
You're a mail carrier or, road works.
Reindeer
or
herder.
Reindeer herder. Apparently, Christmas tree farm.
The oil industry has a lot of frostbite.
Sure. Yeah. I could see that. So there's a lot of industries, obviously, where you're forced to be out there, and hopefully you're being taken care of, through the company you work for, but you should also take care of yourself, by layering, like we talked about.
Yeah.
Use that thermal underwear on the bottom and then layer on top of that.
Yeah. And you want to wear something that is tight. Well, not necessarily tight. It's fitting, but not compression. Okay. I saw specifically several places do not wear compression clothing in cold weather situations.
All right.
And you want stuff that's not going to make you sweat or is going to trap sweat. You want stuff that's going to breathe.
Right.
Because if you sweat and it traps the sweat, that's going to, your clothes are going to freeze to your body.
So comfortable, wicking.
Yes.
Clothing layered upon layer upon layer.
Preferably with Modal.
It's very soft.
Yeah.
What else? You can keep your body in shape. Diabetes and other circulatory diseases, thyroid conditions, they can all lend themselves to be more apt to get frostbite.
Yeah, and a common myth, I thought this was the case too, but a common myth is that if you are overweight, if you have layers of fat,
yeah,
it will protect you out in the cold. And actually,
it's not true.
No, it's not true. Supposedly, layers of fat tend to deaden your nerve endings, which would tell your body to like get some blood going.
Yeah.
And if they're deadened, then they're not going to be doing that.
One thing you should do though, right, is if you have a little whiskey and a cigarette, just nip on that and smoke a cigarette and that'll warm you right up, right?
Yeah.
Not true.
Maybe if you know for a fact that no one's coming for you, you might as well have a last drink and a last smoke.
Okay.
But if you're trying to warm yourself, no, that's the opposite of what you want to do.
Yeah, it's, I think we did another show on
avalanches.
Maybe that was right, a long time ago.
With the St. Bernards.
Yeah, because I remember the drinking alcohol, it gives you, it's, and it also talks about other illegal drugs. But, booze is a sort of a double hammer. Two-headed hammer?
Sure.
It's a two-headed hammer because it makes you feel warmer, but you're actually getting colder.
Right.
And it's also going to affect your,
And judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll impair your judgment. Sure. You might stop walking around. You might be like, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Stupid like, mountain. I'm just going to sit down.
This vodka is warming me up.
Yeah. And the reason why, did you say, because it carries the blood to your skin for a second, so it makes you feel flushed?
Yeah.
But when it's doing that, it's that carrying core. Away from your core.
Yep.
So it's a really bad move in a very cold weather situation to drink.
Bad. And the same with smokes. Cigarette does not warm you up in any way. And Yale University said that the smokers have a greater risk for frostbite because nicotine just slows everything down, and it's even going to make your blood pump slower and make it harder to get to your digits.
Yeah.
And your wee-wee.
Yeah. So, Chuck, I feel like we probably saved some lives here today.
I got another little thing. I found an infographic that was cute that had a couple of things that I didn't know. And this isn't frostbite necessarily, but just thought it was interesting. Do you know why your nose runs when it's cold?
No.
In trying to warm up cold air on the way to the lungs, extra blood flow within the nostrils leads to more mucus.
Oh, that's cute.
Eyeballs don't freeze.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Thankfully.
I bet your contacts can freeze to your eyeballs, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. But your eyeballs don't freeze because they're inside the head, and your head is not one of your extremities. Like, that's part of the core. They want to... Your body wants to keep your head nice and warm.
Yeah, yeah.
And what else? Ears are a great risk because there are no muscles in the ear to produce heat. No major muscles.
Huh.
And finally, your cheeks are going to turn red because, again, those surface blood vessels dilate when it falls below 10 degrees Celsius.
I saw that your buttocks are actually at risk as well, especially if you're like watching a football game on aluminum bleachers or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's... that material is going to wick the heat right out of your butt.
Yeah.
Right out of your tuchus.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's frostbite. Just stay indoors. Drink some hot chocolate.
Yeah, watch that Browns game on your big widescreen and drink a hot toddy.
There you go.
Emily had a toddy last night because she's sick.
Oh, yeah. Those work.
Yeah, her big push now is on natural remedies.
Uh-huh.
And so she looked up like a good old-fashioned toddy recipe.
Yeah. Did she like it?
She loved it.
They're really great when you're sick.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
It
really takes the edge off of
added a little. Yeah, she had a little ginger water to hers.
Oh, nice.
And it was nice and spicy hot and warm to the touch.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope she stays sick for a while.
Yeah, well, feel better, Emily.
I'm going to enjoy those as well.
Are you? One for you, one for me.
It's kind of nice. Actually, I just had a bourbon.
I know. You don't have to be sick to have a hot toddy.
No.
They do help when you are, though.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about frostbite, you can type that word in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. Since I said search bar, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this ham radio, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, burglar tape.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, big fan of the podcast. I was excited to share some knowledge from my area of expertise. In the ham radio, you mentioned burglar tape. I've worked in the electronic security and fire protection industry 16 years.
Mm.
And can remember my first exposure to burglary tape. Back before motion detectors and acoustic glass break detectors, burglar tape was used to trigger an alarm if a window was broken. Isn't that what we figured, or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so.
It is essentially a thin foil tape that was glued to a window using a clear liquid glue. The tape was applied around the perimeter of the window directly on the glass. The foil tape would then be tied down to a two-wire circuit at one of the corners of the window frame. The foil completed the circuit. So if the foil was severed from the window breaking, the circuit would open and initiate an alarm. Technology has left burglar tape behind, as there's much less invasive means to detect a window breaking today. But as far as being a ham radio antenna, makes perfect sense.
Nice.
That is from Josh Hines.
Hey, Josh. All right. Fellow Josh. Way yeah. to go. If you want to get in touch with us, like Josh did, you can tweet to us at Josh Clark or at SYSK Podcast. You can hang out with Chuck at Charles W. Chuck Bryant on Facebook and at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. Send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.